Shalom,
manahnu
lo.
Hello, we are learning the articles of Shamati, article number 70, in the writings of Bala Sulam, volume 2, page 114. Shamati, article number 70, with a mighty hand and with fury poured out. To understand what is written, with a mighty hand and with fury poured out, will I be king over you? We should understand that there is a rule that there is no coercion in spirituality. As it is written, you did not call me Jacob, for you labored in me Israel. And there is the known interpretation by the sayer of Duvna. Hence, what does it mean? What does with a mighty hand and with fury poured out, will I be king over you mean? He said that we should know that those who want to come into the work of the Creator in order to truly adhere to Him and enter the King's palace, not everyone is admitted. Rather, he is tested if he has no other desires, but only a desire for dvikut, adhesion. He is admitted. And how is one tested if he has only one desire? He is given disturbances. This means that he is sent foreign thoughts and foreign messengers to obstruct him, so he would leave this path and follow the path of all the people. If one overcomes all the difficulties and breaks all the bars that block him, and little things cannot push him away, the Creator sends him great klipot, shells or peels, and chariots to deflect one from entering into dvikut with the Creator alone and with nothing else. This is considered that the Creator is rejecting him with a mighty hand. If the Creator does not show a mighty hand, it will be hard to push him away, since he has a strong desire to adhere only to the Creator and to nothing else. But when the Creator wants to reject one whose desire is not so strong, He pushes him away with a small thing. By giving him a great desire for corporeality, he already leaves the holy work entirely, and there is no need to repel him with a mighty hand. Yet, when one overcomes all the hardships and the disturbances, one is not easily repelled, but with a mighty hand. And if one overcomes even the mighty hand and does not want to move from the place of Kedusha, holiness, whatsoever, but wants to adhere specifically to Him in truth and sees that he is repelled, then one says that fury is poured out on him. Otherwise, he would be allowed inside. But because fury is poured out on him by the Creator, he is not admitted into the king's palace to adhere to him. It follows that before one wants to move from one's place and breaks in and wants to enter, it cannot be said that he feels that fury is poured out on him. Rather, after all the rejections that he is rejected, and he does not want to move, and he does not move from his place, meaning when the mighty hand and the fury poured out have already been revealed upon him, then I will be king over you comes true. This is because only through bursting and great efforts does the kingdom of heaven become revealed to him, and he is rewarded with entering the king's palace.
שאלות?
Questions?
חוץ מגרשון אין.
Except for Gershon, nobody.
אתם רוצים לשמוע עוד פעם?
Do you want to hear this again?
כן.
Yes?
שמעתי עין ביד הזקה ובהמה שפוחה.
שמעתי, number 70, with a mighty hand and with fury poured out. It's in the writings of Bala Sulam, volume 2, page 114. To understand what is written, with a mighty hand and with fury poured out, will I be king over you? We should understand that there is a rule that there is no coercion in spirituality. As it is written, you did not call me Jacob, for you labored about me, Israel. And there is the known interpretation by the Seer of Duvna. Hence, what does with a mighty hand and with fury poured out will I be king over you mean? He said that we should know that of those who want to come into the work of the Creator in order to truly adhere to Him and enter the King's palace, not everyone is admitted. Rather, he is tested. If he has no other desires, but only a desire for dvikut, adhesion, he is admitted. And how is one tested if he has only one desire? He is given disturbances. This means that he is sent foreign thoughts and foreign messengers to obstruct him, so he would leave this path and follow the path of all the people. If one overcomes all the difficulties and breaks all the bars that block him, and little things cannot push him away, the Creator sends him great klipot, shells or peels, and chariots to deflect one from entering into dvikut with the Creator alone and with nothing else. This is considered that the Creator is rejecting him with a mighty hand. If the Creator does not show a mighty hand, it will be hard to push him away, since he has a strong desire to adhere only to the Creator and to nothing else. But when the Creator wants to reject one whose desire is not so strong, he pushes him away with a small thing. By giving him a great desire for corporeality, he already leaves the holy work entirely, and there is no need to repel him with a mighty hand. Yet, when one overcomes all the hardships and the disturbances, one is not easily repelled, but with a mighty hand. And if one overcomes even the mighty hand and does not want to move from the place of Kedushah, holiness, whatsoever, but wants to adhere specifically to him in truth and sees that he is repelled, then one says that fury is poured out on him. Otherwise, he would be allowed inside. But because fury is poured out on him by the Creator, he is not admitted into the king's palace to adhere to him. It follows that before one wants to move from one's place, one breaks in and wants to enter. It cannot be said that he feels that fury is poured out on him. Rather, after all the rejections, he is rejected, and he does not want to, and he does not move from his place. Meaning, when the mighty hand and the fury poured out have already been revealed upon him, then I will be king over you comes true. This is because only through bursting and great efforts does the kingdom of heaven become revealed to him, and he is rewarded with entering the king's palace.
Is this clearer? Well, Gershon. Or is it okay already? Don't do me a favor. You don't want to, don't ask.
Can you explain what it means that he does not move from his place?
That he keeps on in his attempts to reach the goal of life.
Yes, but it's written here that the Creator is sending him. It's an everyday, it's a daily war that we're going through.
Is this what you asked about?
Yes. It says that the Creator sends him big disturbances.
Yes, and he keeps on going on his direction for his goal. What does that do? What does that have to do with all this? So there's more disturbances.
I can understand that he continues, but what is the inner work? How can you continue? A desire comes from the Creator. So if a person has no desire, yearning, he's taken everything.
The Creator gives you a desire for the purpose of life, the purpose of creation, and at the same time, he gives you disturbances on the path. That's how he wants to check a person, how much a person is capable of investing, how important the purpose of life is for him. Do you want to reach adhesion with the Creator? Come and show me how much you want, how much you're willing to pay for it, to give for it, to invest in it. That's the way it is. Okay, who else wanted? That's these questions of his. Yes, Eyal, what do you want?
Rav, when we say that in the end everything has to clothe in our feelings.
Yes.
We're talking about attainment.
Yes.
The disturbances feel very real. It feels real. You got a problem in life. You're running around. You're trying to work it out.
You find out that was his problem. You find out that it comes from one source, both a desire to reach the goal and a disturbance. This must be clear. Now, what do you do with that?
So, this is felt, what you just said now.
Yes.
But the awakening that we seemingly have is intellectual.
What do you mean, seemingly?
I mean some disturbances now. Intellectually, I know that now I have to connect to the friends, I have to talk to them, but it feels so artificial, yes. Opposite compared to the disturbance, which feels very real.
True, true. So what? It will
when will be. It be?
No, it won't be. It will be this way until the final correction.
So what is attainment? We say it has to clothe in us. And
the ten is only there to awaken the Creator to help us advance. Okay, think about it. You're thinking. Who else was it here? Only you? Yes, well.
He writes that only by bursting in great efforts, the kingdom of heaven is revealed to him and is rewarded with entering the king's palace.
Yes, if he bursts and he says, I'm incapable, but I have no choice. That's my whole life. That's the purpose of my life. I can't have it in any other way. He starts being in spite with the Creator. He's in war with the Creator. What does this mean that my sons have defeated me? They had a struggle previously. And then, by that, they force the Creator to help. If you... This situation is so clear. I want to reach the goal. And someone places a barrier before me. I have to break through this barrier. Let's say I'm incapable. By me being incapable and incapable and incapable, I suddenly find, I discover after a long time I've been trying, that I'm unworthy of crossing this barrier. I myself am unworthy of crossing this barrier. Only if the Creator does this for me. I myself? No. So, I'm already connecting to him. So you should do this for me. Help me. You must. In a good and a bad way. I turn to him. I don't leave him alone. I go all the way with him. It's a real struggle I'm having with him. also, because the goal is so important. He wants to know how much adhesion, dvikut, is important for me. That's all he shows, great egoistic desires, which are all against dvikut, and what I must do, despite these desires that appear every time I have an obstacle, a certain obstacle, I have to overcome it, and to nonetheless want dvikut, until I prefer dvikut upon all of my desires. That's it. And then what turns out is that he should give me new disturbances all the time, different in quality and quantity. And I have to overcome them and say, no, I won't accept them as a true disturbance. It won't stop me. I still want to advance. That's the way it is. And in this advancement, you have the study, the lesson, you have the group, you have dissemination, you have all kinds of means that may aid you. All right. Yes, Moti.
There are two channels to the disturbances that the Creator sends. On the outside, it's family disturbances and whatnot. But we can still overcome this and attribute it to the Creator. But the other disturbance, I don't know, maybe you can give us some tip. It's a disturbance in the thought. Foreign thoughts come that just take you out.
What do you mean? I don't know where they come from. I understand, you're confused.
It could be doubts about the Creator, about many things, but you see that the next day it works out, and then it comes back again, and you forget that it happened to you.
You see, even Yochai agrees with you.
So how do you deal with the foreign thoughts? I'm not talking about external disturbances.
Just raise your hands. Raise your hands. I am incapable. I can't. Now, here there's a question. Should I struggle with them as much as I can until I lose all my strength and then I raise my hands? Or I can say it in advance, and I'll raise my hands. It's better to do it in advance. I'll give you the solution right up front. Best if you just raise your hands in advance. What does in advance mean? Disturbances come. It comes from the Creator. I'm incapable of doing anything. I'm turning to Him. Where is the group? How can I organize this connection? That's it. If you don't do all these things as a habit, then you'll run around and run around, overcome and won't overcome, and you fall, and it will take all this time and all these nerves and from you.
So the habit you're talking about is
turn to the Creator.
First of all, turn to the Creator.
That's why here the 10 has to give you an example all the time. All the time, an example.
So we should constantly remind each other?
Yes.
This is our work?
Yes, you must. Today I come to the lesson, I hear about a certain case. Yesterday I was this and that, in such a bad state and all. But then I suddenly remembered that it's not an incident. It came from heaven in a systematic way, because there is no chance. That's why there's no else besides Him. That's how I overcame it, and I did it. Everyone lies to the others this way. Usually you don't talk about the truth in these stuff, about this stuff at all. But if it's to awaken the others, you may talk about, not the real internal stuff, but things the way they should have been. Okay? Yes.
No, it's not clear. If we are forbidden to talk about the truth.
Yes. Well, if it was in the past, it's not that bad, but still.
So, if it's forbidden to talk about the truth, then I have to tell something that didn't really happen but will sound like it is true about something that we're not supposed to talk about?
Well, suppose, just as we're talking about now.
So I can't talk about the real situation I had yesterday.
Best if you don't.
Great. So I'll make up a situation that never happened, which will sound like it happened. So as long as
the main thing is that it's a good example for others.
So what's the difference in terms of their impression? What's the difference? Why are we forbidden to talk about the truth?
It's forbidden for a person to reveal the secrets in his heart.
So he plays as if he's revealing his, showing his heart. So this is permitted?
Permitted. Yeah, if it's as if, it's permitted. Is this okay? What do I have?
Again, from a state of being like a rag to a state of being a chair, the disturbances of the Creator?
Well,
so in every situation...
Don't wait until you become a rag. I don't even want that. A disturbance comes to me. I'm not waiting for it to lie me down in bed until I'll become sick and I won't be able to focus in the lesson. I will be so confused and turn around. I don't want it. Immediately. As any disturbance comes, I immediately look for a connection with the Creator.
A connection with the Creator is a connection with the Ten. Now, in both those states, when I'm a rag, how can I be assisted? When I feel like a rag, how can I be assisted? And in that state, the complete opposite. So, in both states, how
do you connect to the Ten?
Exactly. Because when you're a rag, you don't want to see anyone.
Doesn't matter that you don't want to. You have a duty, you have a role, and they also have a duty. That's why we are not in a spiritual state, we're in a corporeal one. Now you're going to start seeing how corporeality is helping us. In corporeality, there's a clock on the wall. It shows me the time. It's 5 minutes before 5. And at 5 o'clock, I have to read an article. And at 5:15, we're connecting in a way that Owen will have to say what his impression of the day. And then Gershon will ask his questions again, etc. According to the time. But if you determine it to be this way, but it's only a formality, and won't happen, that's it. You're done. You won't be able to advance. Most of our work is corporeal, in a corporeal framework of the spiritual forces. Okay. What do you have?
In our 10, we did two things that you said. One is to create two gabbais and two shatzes. This totally rocked. It shook the 10. They couldn't resist our work. They couldn't handle it.
That's good, at least.
So we started this way. And we also reminded everyone that everyone's a gabbai and everyone's a shatz. So it really awakened the 10. The other thing is, yesterday you gave a great advice that during the Zoom, we should tell each other that we love them. I love you. And then if a person hears it from several friends that he's loved, then he begins to believe it. So we tried it out on the 5 o'clock Zoom. 5 friends said, I love you. One even, was in Africa, started singing to us, I love you, I love you, I need you, I need you. And it just woke up the 10 in such a way. These tips, you know, they kind of go by you, but they really do the work. So, first of all, I wanted to say it so everyone would be jealous and would feel it, and so we would all do it. Because in every such advice, there is a world of infinity that you can discover.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Where is this?
Owen.
Read.
Psalms Psalm number 27. To David, the Lord, my light, my salvation, from whom do I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. From whom would I be feared? When evil calls upon me to eat my flesh, my enemies fail and fall. Even if you bring war upon me, my heart will not fear. If war comes upon me, I trust this. Only one thing I asked of the Creator, her I seek, to dwell in the hearts of the Lord all the days of my life, to see the pleasantness of the Creator and visit His palace. For He hides me in the hut on a bad day, will hide me in His tent. He will raise me on the rock, and now my head will be lifted over my enemies, my surroundings, and I will give offerings in His tent. I will sing and praise the Creator. Hear the Lord, my voice I call. Pardon me and answer me. To you, my heart says, seek my face. I seek your face, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me. Do not be angry with your servant. You become my assistance. Do not abandon me. Do not leave me, God of my salvation. For my father and mother left me, and the Lord will gather me. Show me, Lord, your way. Guide me on the plain. Do not put me under the control, the governance of my enemies, for false witnesses will come upon me. If I did not believe that I would see the goodness of the Creator in the land of the living, hope for the Lord strong, and brace your heart and hope for the Lord.
There's no greater than Psalms. Nothing is greater than Psalms. Well, the introduction, the test.